Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our call. Secretary Vilsack will give us an update on the 2014 Farm Bill and the coming one-year anniversary of the bill's signing. We'll also hear from several guests that will share stories on how the bill's passage has positively affected their lives personally, and they are producers and organization leaders. Reporters, as usual, if you'd like to ask a question of our panel, please let us know by pressing star one. And first up, we're going to hear from Secretary Vilsack. Good morning.
Thank you very much, Susan. I want to thank Ben LaCrosse, Michael Orman, and Edward Pruitt for participating in the call today. We are marking the one-year anniversary of a significant legislative achievement with the signing, passage and signing of the Farm Bill. I'm excited about the opportunity to continue to promote the benefits of this Farm Bill, and I'm excited about the way in which we are approaching this by focusing on what we refer to as the five faces of the Farm Bill. This week we have focused on the Estrada family. They are in Kansas, and they represent the first-time homebuyer opportunities that are created through USDA. We're encouraging folks to sort of follow this five faces of the Farm Bill on hashtag MyFarmBill or USDA.gov/FarmBill. I think by all measures, this has been a successful first year of implementation. I think it pushes back on the notion that things are broken in Washington or the government is not working. And in fact, I think this is a strong case to suggest that there are aspects of government that are working and working well. I want to acknowledge the extraordinary work of our devoted staff at USDA and the fact that we listen to stakeholders who have an interest in various aspects of the Farm Bill over 4,000 sessions and engagements. As part of the implementation process. To the results, before we get a chance to visit with our three guests, they are many. First and foremost, the focus on the disaster assistance, the fact that we provided over 226,000 producers assistance in 46 states. 23,000 dairy operations are now participating in our new margin protection program. We announced 115 high-impact conservation projects in all 50 states. Where we'll see potentially $750 million invested in expanded conservation. The microloan program, which has been extraordinarily successful, now approaching nearly 10,000 loans, has seen the loan level increased during this last year to 50,000 as a result of the new Farm Bill. The new Research Foundation, the board is meeting as we speak, mapping out its strategic vision for additional research to complement what USDA is doing in its own research activities. Certainly, the local and regional food system market expansion received a boost from this Farm Bill with the announcement of tens of millions of dollars of additional support and help. We've done over 500 projects to expand local and regional food systems, and this certainly will add to that number. I'm very proud of the Risk Management Agency and its work on establishing the supplemental crop insurance option, the new STAX program for cotton producers, and the whole farm revenue policy, which is providing help and assistance to specialty crop producers, and the fact that we've expanded coverage for crop insurance to 36 organic crops certainly suggests that they've been busy during the last year. There has been oftentimes a request that we have a receipt for service at USDA. I'm proud to say that over 100,000 receipts for service have already been provided as a result of the passage of the Farm Bill. We've got Michael Gorman on the line today in part because of his extraordinary work in connecting veterans to new farming opportunities, and I'm sure he is pleased with the fact that we have appointed Kara Scudder as our military veterans liaison to the post that was established in the Farm Bill, and I've had meetings with Kara, and we're going to be very aggressive in our efforts to try to make sure that returning veterans are aware of the opportunities that exist in an agricultural future. Export assistance, nearly $200 million has been put to good use in a record year in exports. And as we are focusing on trade issues this year, we will continue to see strong export promotion. With the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, finalization of that agreement and the passage of Trade Promotion Authority, we'll be able to see those numbers climb significantly. And even our Forest Service has been engaged and involved in expanded stewardship contracting, which is allowing us to continue to treat more wood in an effort to be focused on the resilience and restoration efforts in our forests to reduce the hazardous fire issues that we've been confronting. proud to note that we have had a record number of board feet, not a record number, but an increased number of board feet each and every year in the last 4 years, working towards our goal of 3 billion board feet being treated. There are jobs associated with that as well. So it's been a very aggressive, very busy, and I think a very result-oriented effort here at USDA. But to put a face on it and to put a voice behind it, I think I'd turn it over now to our three guests. Why don't we start with Ben LaCrosse? Ben was actually at the signing and introduced the president in Michigan when this bill was signed, and we welcome him back for a few comments. Ben?
Thank you, Senator Vilsack. Good morning. I'm Ben LaCrosse, and I grow cherries and plums on my family's farm in northern Michigan. I'm also a member of the Michigan Farm Bureau Board of Directors and a past chair of the American Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. Last February, like the Secretary mentioned, I had the honor of introducing President Obama when he signed the Farm Bill at Michigan State University. That's not the only reason I feel a close personal connection to this Farm Bill. Provisions in this bill have benefited my farm and my community. The Farm Bill has had a tremendous impact on my beloved cherry crop and the other farmers like me who grow them. Back in March 2012, Michigan's cherry farmers experienced a weather disaster that was masked in warm, sunny days. For more than a week, our temperatures soared to at least 80 degrees every day. This caused our trees to begin to bloom way too early, and when the temps returned to normal, the traditional April frost wiped out our entire crop. At the time of that disaster, cherries were not eligible for crop insurance. Provisions of this farm bill allowed farmers like me to purchase coverage to retroactively insure our fruit. The coverage level was minimal for most producers, but farm bill support has allowed most all cherry growers to overcome that sunny weather disaster. This farm bill has also invested in research that will help our cherry farmers grow stronger trees, and produce more cherries to sell throughout the world. Our industry's leading cherry tree research team has received $24 million through the Specialty Crop Research Initiative. This research support is vital to improving and growing our commodity. Foreign trade is an area where, through Farm Bill support, cherry farmers like me can grow sales. In 2015, the cherry industry received $700,000 in market access program dollars. President Obama's 2016 budget calls for an increase in MAP funding from $185 million to $200 million. Cherries would be an excellent category to grow sales and export through increased MAP program funding. But we need additional help. Since 2006, U.S. fresh cherry exports have doubled. Japan is our third largest export country for cherries, and we have foreign competition for that market. Farmers are pleased with the progress on the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, and we urge the U.S. Trade Representative to continue those negotiations. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to the USDA and Secretary Vilsack for swift implementation of the 2014 Farm Bill. The USDA has always been a great supporter of the cherry industry, and we appreciate the recent purchase of our raw product. And that support is very much appreciated. Thank you.
Ben, thanks very much. Michael, I'd like to hear from you for a few minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. The 2014 Farm Bill was a real game changer for our efforts to support veterans in agriculture. It made a historic recognition that veteran farmers are an important contingency of the USDA, and it created the Office of the Military Veterans and Agricultural Liaison, which you mentioned, Kara Scudder, a former Marine, taking on that position and giving a person and a leadership to the effort to bring veterans into agriculture, not only through USDA programs, but connecting with other departments. And we're now seeing the Department of Labor, the Small Business Administration, the Department of Defense, and even the Veterans Administration looking at the importance of connection between veterans and agriculture for the first time. For our organization, it took us, prior to February 7th of last year, it took us 6 years to build a network of 2,000 veterans who had contacted us and wanted help launching their agricultural careers. In the last 12 months, we've added 2,000 more, so it's doubled in a year. It just immediately overnight picked up interest and gave programs and support for veterans going into agriculture. The Beginning Farmer and Rancher Development Program and the Office of Advocacy and for Socially Disadvantaged and Veteran Farmers has funded many organizations, now many organizations new to efforts to support veterans, and it's just created a large network of projects and universities and nonprofits all working towards this goal to help this important new group enter into agriculture. Most importantly is this critical investment in the veterans themselves through the EQUIP program, through the CRP program, and what's really helped a lot of our veterans is the microloan program. For example, we have a young man just south of Los Angeles, Edgar Hursula. His parents came to the United States as farm workers from Mexico, and then Edgar entered the Army and served with the Army Civil Affairs Unit in Iraq, doing what you don't hear a lot of, and that was working directly with the Iraqis on agricultural projects, irrigation and greenhouse constructions. So through the small farm, through the microloan, he's been able to set up an urban farm and to create a hydroponic greenhouse right south of Los Angeles and that major market. And that's such a tremendous opportunity that wasn't there for beginning farmers before, and opportunity for veterans to get into agriculture without the larger indebtedness that is offered, often additional stress factor on the family. So we're really excited about how it's been going and really excited about the future.
Michael, thank you very much, and we'll finish up with Edgar and before we take questions. Edgar?
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. It's an honor to be with you guys, and my story is a little bit different because I'm a new farmer. I'm working on my fifth year as a full-time farmer, and starting out as a new farmer, there's so much you don't know, and it's been incredibly helpful having NRCS and the new farm bill to help us through some really major obstacles and avoiding obstacles. So just to give you a little bit about my farm, we have five crop products. So we're a very diverse farm. We do commercial cows, commercial catfish, commercial broilers, and honey and organic produce. And each of these lines of business have unique challenges and unique opportunities. And the most important asset I've gotten from NRCS and the other agencies, along with this farm bill, has been the way you plan. If you're new to the business, you have to figure out what can be done and how it's best to go about that. They're instrumental in planning, but they're also instrumental in providing resources to support with those initiatives. I've received help in building fences and pipe and water lines and planting grazing grasses and hay grasses just on the commercial cow side of the business. And the one of my colleagues spoke about the disaster relief. The new farm bill just allowed disaster relief coverage for honeybees and catfish. And if you remember, we're in west central Alabama, and we're in the tornado belt and the hurricane belt. And so the damage that is done traditionally with a storm on pond levees is absolutely incredible. The cost is unwielding without the support from the disaster bill. And last year, we lost 70% of our honeybees through a tornado, and that relief will allow me to gear my bee operation back up and get back in the business of honey, because honey is essential, and the pollination is even more essential. I participate in the pollination program with the NRCS, the high tone house program, the energy conservation program, and my broiler houses. And so every aspect of the work that we do, we are partnering with NRCS, and without them, I'm absolutely convinced I would not be as far along in my fifth year as I am today. So thank you very much for the honor of sharing this with you, and I'm always here to partner with these guys and to share my information with other farmers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And just a reminder for the benefit of the folks on the phone and reporters. It's going to be important for us to recognize that we're going to continue to implement this farm bill, and there are a couple of key dates that are coming up very quickly for farmers. The base acre reallocation initiative that's part of our new safety net programs, farmers have until the end of February, February 27th, to make that decision about whether or not they wish to reallocate base acres. The election that is due for farmers to choose between the agricultural risk coverage program or the price loss coverage program, they have until March 31st, and we're encouraging folks who've made decisions to let their local FSA office know what that decision is so that we don't have a crash of interest at the end of March that may impact and affect our ability to process these things on a timely basis. And then the conservation compliance, the Form AD 1026 due June 1. And appreciate the mention of the Beginning Farmers efforts. We this week, through the Deputy Secretary and her great work on Beginning Farmers, announced resources available, roughly $18 million available for that Beginning Farmer and Rancher program, which you can see is making a difference. So a very aggressive and proactive year with work yet to be done. Susan, with that, be glad to open up to questions.